And we're starting today at verse 47. If you don't have a Bible or a device with a Bible on, then the words will appear on the screen behind us. But just a reminder, because we're kind of coming into land, as it were, over these next few weeks. So we've since September, we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel, if you can remember back that far. We started in chapter 11 of Matthew's Gospel in September, and we've been seeing in this little section of Matthew's Gospel how people respond to the Lord Jesus. Some doubts, some unbelief, some opposition, and we've been journeying together through these things. And at the end of that little section in chapter 13, Jesus has been telling stories, parables, which are stories with a meaning that's just below the surface. And we're just picking up that today. So if you're new with us, we're going to dive into something. You think, what is this? But it's Jesus telling stories that make a point. And so that's where we pick it up today. Matthew 13, verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of its storeroom new treasures as well as old. Think about this story together. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, even just as we read this story this morning, we see that it touches on future and serious things, perhaps things that many of us don't particularly want to think about or hear this morning. But we ask that you would give us ears to hear, and give us hearts to understand, and please give us lives that respond to what Jesus says this morning. And we ask it in his name, please. Amen. Well, working out the future is big business, isn't it? What will happen in the future is something that occupies loads of people's worlds and careers. So economists and business analysts, what are they trying to do most of the time? They're trying to work out the future, aren't they? Where's it all going? What's going to happen with the money and the economy? And they're constantly saying, well, what's going to happen in the future? Or environmentalists. You know, they're all trying to work out, well, if we keep using the amount of energy we're using and burning the amount of fuel we're burning, what's going to happen to our planet? What's going to happen to our world in the future? People are constantly thinking about the future. What will happen? How do we know? Can we predict the future? And that's before we get personal, isn't it? And just think about our own kind of indulgence with the future. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my life, my health? Am I planning well enough for the future? We want to know, don't we? We want to know what the future holds. It occupies us in so many ways. We want to be able to plan for the future. And today, using a story, which is one of the ways that Jesus often taught, but using a story, Jesus draws our attention to the future. He tells disciples, both those listening to him in this particular story, because remember the scene that he'd been with the crowds, he'd been with thousands of people, but then he kind of backs away from the crowds, goes into a house, and these stories are just told to disciples. And so Jesus is telling disciples, that's us this morning, if you are a disciple, what to expect in the future. What will the kingdom of heaven be like in the future? And this is spoken with the authority of the Son of God. This is not some analyst doing his job, trying to work it out, making a prediction. This isn't a vague guess. This is God telling us what will happen in the future. This is what we can expect from the kingdom of heaven. This is what we can expect to happen with all this Jesus stuff that we believe in the future. See, just if you've got a Bible, look at verse 49. because it's right in the middle, but it makes just very clear what Jesus is talking about this morning. This is how it will be at the end of the age. That's what Jesus is talking about. The end of the age is something the Bible talks about often. It's the end of the world as we know it now. It's the end of the world with its current broken state. It's the moment that the Bible speaks of when the Lord Jesus returns. Today's the first Sunday of Advent. If you're into church calendars, anyone into the church calendar? No, it's fine then. This is the first Sunday of Advent, which is where we remember that first coming of Jesus. But the Bible says that there's another coming of Jesus, not as a baby, but as one who will come as judge and to save all those who've trusted in him. And that, when the Bible speaks about the end of the age, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about that day, the return of the Lord Jesus. And using this story, Jesus wants us to understand something about the future. And he wants us to understand that the future will include a day of separation. The future equals some separation. We have a sock basket in our house. I don't know if anyone else has a sock basket. Anyone have a sock basket? When you've got 9 of us living in a house, you have to put them somewhere, honestly. So we have this sock basket. And what happens in this sock basket is that every so often we go to the sock basket and we pair them up. And the ones that are pairs, well, they get put back in people's drawers. And the mysterious ones that seem to lose their pair, well, they kind of just stay in the basket. They kind of discard it. It's a separation process that goes on every so often. And Jesus tells here a story about separation, and it's a story about a fishing net. Now, Jesus was a master of connecting with people that he spoke to. Like, you know, I don't know if anyone's into fishing here, but the people Jesus was speaking to, think about the room, half of them were fishermen, and the rest of them would have known very well what the fishermen were doing. So he tells a story that connects really well with those listening. And once again, this story that he tells about a fishing net is about the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 47. This is his kind of teeing it up. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. He's describing the kingdom of heaven, explaining to them what to expect from the family of God, the royal family of God. And Jesus here describes a net, a dragnet, a fishing net. So you will have seen these. Kind of pinned between a couple of boats, weights on the bottom, floats on the top, and they would have dropped it right down to the surface and dragged it along, and basically anything that got caught up in that net would be gathered up into that net, from cod to car wheels. You know, everything would have just got dragged up in this net. And as the fishermen then drag this net up onto shore, they go through the process that every fisherman of that day would have gone through, which is to start sifting out what's in the net. And so look at verse 48. This is what happens. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. The good fish is the idea there of the ones that they could eat, the ones they could use. The bad fish is the idea of things they couldn't sell, the things that weren't useful to them, the things they couldn't eat. And Jesus, just using this picture, which would have been so common to them, perhaps a little more uncommon to us, but so common to them, he says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. That's what it's going to be like. This is the focus of Jesus' story. See that in verse 49? This is how it will be at the end of the age. See, it's very much like the story, if you were with us a few weeks ago, of the wheat and the weeds. It's the same kind of idea and there is a kind of a focus here, isn't there, that, well, yeah, the good fish and the bad fish, well, they'll be caught up in the same net, but there will be a day of separation. But Jesus, in this particular story, is really focusing our eyes this morning on the end. Not the process, not what happens in the lead up to the end, but to the end itself. Attention is on a day of separation. Just look at verse 49 and 50. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says that at the end of the age, in the future, the angels will come and they will separate the wicked from the righteous. Literally, it reads that they will take out the wicked from amongst the righteous. Now, to be really clear, because I think we get this wrong, not just if we are looking in at Christianity, but I think We often get this wrong and can speak about it wrong as Christians. This is not Jesus talking about our ethical or our moral status. This is not talking about whether we've behaved well or not behaved well, whether we've been a nice person or not been a nice person. Now, in Matthew's gospel, the distinction between the wicked and the righteous is all to do with what you've done with Jesus. The wicked are those who have refused to come to Jesus as the way into the kingdom of heaven, as he's the one who brings us access. The righteous are those who have been made righteous by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That those who've come to Jesus, like the disciples who've huddled in close, who've walked towards Jesus, who say, Jesus, we need you. We cannot have a place in the kingdom of heaven without you. That's the distinction that's going on here. And like the crowds here, that they've walked away. The crowds have chosen not to stick around with Jesus. But the disciples are those who've come in close. And in very graphic language, which can make many of us feel a little bit uncomfortable, but in very graphic language, Jesus describes here what will happen to those who've refused to come to him, to trust him for a place in the kingdom. So you just look again at verse 50. The angels will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, here Jesus is describing what many of us will have heard referred to as hell. It's not something we particularly like to talk about. It makes us feel a bit uncomfortable. I'm sure we all feel a little bit uncomfortable now. But actually, it's something, not that the media's given us the right picture of, but it's something that Jesus describes to us here. See, the media often describes it as a place where you can go and hang out with your mates who've refused to follow Jesus. You know, I'll go and hang out with them for eternity. But actually, Jesus doesn't use that kind of picture, does he? Just look at the words. Let Jesus speak for this for a moment. Verse 50, he describes it as a place of fire. A fire in the Bible is often a picture of judgment, of being under a place of condemnation. He also speaks of it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we understand those two pictures, right? That the tears, the gnashing of teeth is the kind of grinding of teeth. Now, what is Jesus getting us to understand about this place called hell? It's a place of regret. It's a place of pain, where we're sad about the decisions that we've made. That's what Jesus is describing. And Jesus says here to his disciples in a room, he says, look, understand. You've got to understand that the future will include a separation from the wicked, from the righteous. And to those who belong to the kingdom, like the disciples listening in, to those that are a part of the kingdom, the strange encouragement of hearing about that day is that it means that the life we know of living in the kingdom now that's mixed in with this world where we seem to be in a minority as those who believe, that won't go on forever. Your experience of being a Christian like now won't be the forever experience, because there will be a time when those who've refused Jesus will be removed from those who have accepted Jesus. There's a time limit on the mixed up world that we live in. At the end of the age, which is a time fixed by God, there will be a day of separation. Not based on how good we've been, not based on whether you're a nice person or not a nice person, but based on what you've done with the Lord Jesus. And that is the future according to Jesus. You know, we can listen to the business analysts, we can listen to the environmentalists, we can make our plans, but according to the Son of God, that is what the future is. And that's why Jesus, verse 51, then turns round to his disciples. If you've got a Bible, have a look. He turns round to his disciples, having told this story, and he says this, have you understood all these things? Have you got it? Do you believe it? See, Jesus is asking his disciples if they've understood where this world is heading. Have you understood where the kingdom of God is heading? What is the direction of this kingdom? And more than that, if you look at the words there, verse 51, have you understood all these things? Now, I think he's referring here to all the stories that he's been telling them. So he's saying to them, have you understood, disciples, what the kingdom will be like? Have you understood that when you share the truth of Jesus as the way into the kingdom, that some people will accept it and others will reject it? The parable of the sower. Have you understood that this kingdom will grow like from a mustard seed to a tree? It will spread all over the world. Have you understood that? Have you understood that there is an infinite worth to the kingdom, but it will cost you in sacrifice today? The parable of the pearl, the parable of the hidden treasure. Have you understood that the kingdom of heaven, that the stuff God's doing in this world will coexist with the kingdom of the world? Good and evil will live side by side until the end of the age. Have you understood that? Do you understand that at the end there will be a day of separation? Jesus eyeballs his disciples in a room, and he eyeballs us through the Bible this morning, and he says, have you understood that? Do you understand that that's what's going on? And when he says, have you understood it, he's not just asking, you know, have you intellectually got it? Could you, you know, it's not just saying, could you recite it to somebody else? That's not what the word understand means. To understand something means that you allow it to challenge and to shape the way that you think and the things that you do. That's real understanding, isn't it? You know, it's a key question. Do you understand? Have you let these truths shape you? Do you let them shape the way that you do life? Key question, do you understand? Not just asking the disciples whether they understood, but do you understand? See, to think about understanding for a moment. I could understand, couldn't I? Okay, here's something I could intellectually understand. I could intellectually understand that if I leave this building today and cross the road, that cars will do me harm if they run into me. I could understand that, right? I could intellectually get that, and I could just walk out and just not care about that information, and I could just cross the road not looking anywhere. But to understand that information means that I'll cross the road being careful. I'll shape the way that I approach the road because I understand it. And Jesus says, look, do you understand these things? Because if you do, it should shape what you do in the present. It should shape what I do now. And so how do these truths, particularly knowing that the future involves a day of separation, how do those things affect us now? Should they affect us? Well, if you'll indulge me for a second, let's just come away from the text for a moment and just kind of go around the whole of Matthew to 13. Actually, the obvious thing is, if that's true, if there is a day of separation coming, then the obvious question that some of us might want to be asking this morning is, well, how do I get my place in the kingdom? How do I get on the right side of this separation? How do I become part of the righteous rather than be counted among the wicked? And the answer that this part of Matthew's gospel kind of brings us back to again and again is that it's about coming to Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes us righteous. Coming to him, you see, there's a divide going on in this part of Matthew. And those who have understanding, those who have a place in the kingdom, are those who've come in close to Jesus, who are learning from him, who say, Jesus, we want to be near you. They've huddled into the room with Jesus, as it were. Jesus says earlier, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the obvious response. If you understand these things, then what should you do? Come close to Jesus. To trust that he is the one who died on a cross to exchange places with me. That he would bear the consequences for my life of ignoring God. And he would give me his perfect life, that I might be brought into the kingdom of heaven. And if you might thinking, well, I don't know what it looks like to come to Jesus, then actually it's got to begin somewhere, hasn't it? It's got to begin with that moving towards him and saying, Jesus, okay, this is new to me, but I want to learn from you. I want to come near. I want to say, okay, Jesus, I take you at your word. If you say coming near gives me a place in your kingdom, then I want to do that. And if you want to start doing that, then we'd love to. As a church, we are passionate about helping people take those steps towards learning who Jesus is and coming close to him and trusting him. And I urge you this morning that if you're here and you haven't yet done that, don't leave here without doing something, because we want to help you to do that. But what about if you're a disciple? See, that's one of the things that I think we should do if we understand these things. But what about if you're a disciple this morning already? What should we do if we understand there's a day of separation coming? Well, Jesus draws out a lesson here that is particularly for disciples. It's understanding the future gives us something particular to do in the present. And so Jesus says, understand that the present means speaking. So the future is a separation, but the present means there's speaking to be done. In other words, knowing the future means that we should speak about Jesus in the present. See, Jesus is pulling on all the stories that he's done here, but he said that finding him is like finding treasure. And he's saying that you've got to be someone who passes that treasure on, pulls out that treasure, and gives it to others. Look at verse 52. Let's go through the last bit of this story. He said to the disciples, therefore, connecting this to their understanding, because you understand, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Now, Jesus is telling another parable here, okay? It's another little story. And you get the hint of that if you look in the text there, because halfway through you get the is like, a little phrase that Jesus uses when he's going to pop out a parable. And this time he's not describing the kingdom of heaven, but this little parable describes those who've become disciples in the kingdom of heaven. So this little parable is about lots of us in this room this morning. And we've got a little decision to make. So you ready? Let's do a little bit of work together. Verse 52. Let's dive in. So if you've fallen asleep for a moment, you're going to have to do a little bit of work for me, okay? Because we've got to understand what Jesus is saying. He says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, you've got to decide, well, who is a teacher of the law? Is that me? And most of us are going, oh, no, that's not me. That's fine. This isn't about me. But actually, I think Jesus here is talking to disciples, and he's likening them, he's giving them the title of teacher of the law, which is really interesting because the teacher of the law was a post, it was a position in Jesus' day for one of the Jewish leaders who would have had the responsibility for teaching and passing on God's words to others. And here he's saying, well, you've understood, and he's provocatively giving the disciples that title. And I think he's saying here that if you have become a disciple, if you've been taught by Jesus the things about the kingdom, you now kind of own this label, which is a teacher of the law. You have the responsibility to pass that on. And then he uses a parable to show kind of what that means. So if you have a look at the parable, he describes that the disciple as someone who's like the owner of a house. They've become kind of this owner of some great treasures. And they are someone who literally brings out of their storeroom, their treasure chest, new things and old things, new treasures and old. And the picture here is of pulling them out. You see the language there, brings out, which is this idea of the words that's used here of literally kind of taking them out and casting them out. Now, if you've been following through the text this morning, you'll notice that's a bit of a theme in the text. Did you spot that? So the net is cast into the sea. What do they do with the fish? They cast them away. It's exactly the same word in the original language. And then by the time you get to the end here, what is it? It's casting out the treasures. So there's lots of throwing going on in this story. But as we come to the end here, what is it that the disciples are meant to do? They're meant to cast out the treasure. And that begs the question, well, what is the treasure? Well, the treasure is Jesus. The truths of Jesus, the truths of the kingdom, the things that we've been taught. You know, if you can imagine the Sunday mornings of looking at Matthew 11 to 13, every week you go home with another gem, okay? Every week Jesus has given you another bit of treasure. He's told you what the kingdom will be like. He's told you what to expect now. He's told you that it will grow side by side with good and evil. He's told you there's a day of separation coming. And he is loading up your treasure chest. And he is saying that disciples are those who are now responsible for bringing out those treasures and presenting them to others, casting them to others, giving them away to others. And what does Jesus mean then by new and old? We've got to think about that, haven't we? Jesus says you've got treasures old and new. Well, I think Jesus here is referring to, particularly in a Jewish context, remember that's where he was speaking, he's saying, look, actually, this is what we now have as the Old and New Testament. He's saying that all these things teach great stuff about the kingdom of God. The whole Old Testament points to Jesus, and now we have the truth about Jesus, and we can bring out all the treasures about the kingdom of God, about Jesus, showing how it all points to him. Those who understand will bring out treasures for others. And you might be sitting here this morning thinking, oh, no, I'm not a teacher. I can't be bringing out those treasures for other people. We'll leave that to others. But actually, Jesus doesn't here just mean teaching a sermon, or he doesn't just here mean teaching a kids group, or leading a Bible study. Actually, every disciple has been given the treasure of Jesus. And every disciple in some way and some place can bring out those treasures for others to enjoy. We can speak, can't we, of the worth of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the value of Jesus, of his cross, of his salvation, of the way that he gives us a place in the kingdom of heaven. And boy, we've got lots of opportunities over the coming month, haven't we, to bring out those treasures for people as we approach Christmas, as we get to tell people about the birth of our Savior. See, all of us who understand will want to be those who should be those who speak that treasure in the present. We want people to find Jesus. We want to encourage people who are trusting Jesus. You see, think about this. Actually, we bringing treasures out isn't just for people who don't yet know Jesus. Actually, when you come to church or you pick up the phone to somebody in church or you bump into another Christian on the street, we bring out treasures for each other. So think about it like this. You know, maybe you sit next to somebody or have a coffee with someone after church and they say, man, life's tough at the moment, isn't it? And you sense as you're talking to somebody that they're really feeling the tension, that being a Christian is just mixed in with living in a really broken world, and they're wrestling with this. What do? Well, you bring out the treasure and you say, hey, let's just get in the chest. Didn't Jesus say it would be like that? And you bring out the treasure and you encourage each other with that truth. Or maybe you think you're really dejected because you've invited that 820th person to the carol service and they've said no again. And you're like, oh. And someone, you're feeling really deflated, and you come alongside another Christian and they say, hey, let's get the treasures out. Didn't Jesus say it would be like that? And you encourage each other with the treasures of the kingdom, the treasures that we've been entrusted with. When the world is full of evil and brokenness and we just feel broken, what do? We dive into the treasure store and we bring out Jesus and we bring out the things that he's taught us and we encourage each other. Friends, knowing the end, knowing the future, means that we want to be those today who speak about Jesus in the present to one another and to those who don't yet know him. Friends, can I ask you that question, verse 51, that Jesus asked his disciples? If you've got a Bible, look there. Let Jesus speak to you this morning through these words. Do you understand all these things? Do you understand them? Not just intellectually grasp them, but do you understand them to a way where you will let it shape you, keep you coming to Jesus, cause you to want to share Jesus with others? Are you pulling out treasures, old and new? You know, Jesus doesn't call us to be hoarders. You know, when you come to church on a Sunday or you go to a Bible study, he gives you those treasures not to just store in your chest and these are my treasures and I'm not going to share them with everyone. We have a responsibility to pull out these treasures and cast them to those around us, to one another and to those we meet this week who don't know the Lord Jesus. So why don't we pray for God's help to do that? I need God's help to do that. I'm sure you do as well. So let's pray that in. Father in heaven, we want to say thank you again for these stories of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have revealed so clearly to us what will take place in the future. Thank you for your kindness to us in sending Jesus so that we might not be thrown into the blazing furnace of hell, but might be part of your forever people in the kingdom of heaven. Father, as those who understand, as those who believe this morning, please help us to be those who speak up, who tell others the treasure of Jesus, who help one another to keep going in the life of following Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song. I think we've only sung it once here before. But there aren't many songs that actually talk about that day of separation. So it's quite a somber song. But I think it helps us to just get our minds on the fact Jesus has revealed to us what the end of the age holds. And so let's sing together, Day of Judgment. Let's